Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, this week is Parashat Shlach. Let me start with the Milsa Bidichusa, a joke. Okay, I'm warning you, it's a joke, so you're supposed to laugh. It says in the Pasuk, Vayisarpulo, when the Meraglim arrived, so the Meraglim arrived, they began, Vayisarpulo, Vayemulo, Bonu, El Oritz, Asher, Shelach, Tonu, Vagam, Zovas, Cholom, Vadvash, Ki, Vize, Piryo. And then they go on to complain, they go on to say that the land is no good, there's no way we can possibly enter Eretz Yisrael, we can't survive, there are giants, and so on and so forth. Eretz Achaz Yeshvecha. But they began with some praise. Zovas Cholav Udvash, V'zeh Piryah, they said good things, beautiful land. So Rashi says, why, if the Meraglim plan was to speak Lashon Hara and to persuade the Jewish people not to enter, so why did they start with praise? So Rashi tells a very important sod. So he said that all politicians have to know, Kol Dovar Sheker, anything which is a lie, she'ein oimim bok tzas emes bitchilosai ein miskayim b'sayif. If you want to be able to pull off a lie, you can't say a blatant lie. You have to start off with a little emes. You start with emes, and then you're able to convince people to put them in the frame of mind that you're saying the truth. Then you're able to speak lies. There's a minug that, this is again, it's a joke. The minug by a sheva brachas, that you're supposed to be Meshabeach V'chosn Kala. You say beautiful things of the Chosn Kala. But before you say V'chosn Kala, you don't just give praise. You have to first say a Dvar Torah. So why do you first give a Dvar Torah and then you give praise? Because Torah is Emes. Titin Emes Liakov, Emes. So before you get to the praise, you have to start with Dvar Emes before you come to Dvar Sheker. What?
Maybe you should be a Hefer. In other words, first
Shvach,
start with a
prayer.
Yeah,
but then no one's going to believe the Shvach, because it's blatant Sheker. Okay, let's begin. Let's focus on one word. This is a short idea. It just caught my attention. I found that we have a word here in Parashat Shlach that does not appear anywhere else in the entire Tanakh. A one-of-a-kind word. The word is Vayapilu. Vayapilu refers to the Mapilim, the people who, refers to a group of people in Klal Yisrael who after the Meraglim told Klal Yisrael that it's not Kedai to enter Eretz Shol, Eretz Echeles Yoshvecha, they cried, Valayla Hahu, and they chose not to ascend, they chose not to enter. Moshe Rabbeinu, gave them Musar, and they were punished. Then there was a lot of punishment, and then there was a group of people who realized they made a very big mistake, and they said, "Okay, we have charat, we can do tshuva, we're going to go." Vayapilu, and they ascended. So when you read the pasuk. After Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Nimkadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to die in the desert, you don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so you won't go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll all die in the desert, but your children, they will enter, your children will go, and this will go on for 40 years. When the people heard this, they realized they made a very tragic mistake. What happened? They mourned, they sat shiva. When they heard this, punishment, they're going to die in the desert. Vayashkimu vaboiker. Vayalu el reisho chav lemar hinenu v'yalinu el amokim asher amar Hashem ki chotanu. We do tshuva. Vayoyim Moshe, too little, too late. Lama zeatem oivrim espi Hashem nehiloy sitzloch. Al talu ki ein Hashem bekibuchem avaloy tinagfu lufnei veichem. So on and so forth. They said no. Vayapilu lalois. What does this word mean? When you have a word that does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh, you're in a lot of trouble. It's extremely difficult to get a good translation. So let's first see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Memdal, it says, Lashon Chozek. They were strong. They overcame Moshe's resistance. Moshe told them, no, they overcame, they were strong. Afelo, he brings another example, Lashon Azus, strength. Okay. Umid Medrash Tanchuma Mefarsha Lashon Ofel, darkness. Now that's not a good word, because the Ofel has an Aleph, so obviously the Medrash is telling us that the Aleph and the Ayin can be interchanged. They acted in a state of confusion, darkness. Holchu Chashechim Sheloi Birishus. That's an important point I want to bring out a little bit later on. They went in a state of darkness. Sheloi Birishus. That's not the primary thing I want to talk about now, but keep this in mind for what we're going to talk about later on. They entered up to Eretz Yisrael without permission. Targum gives a third translation. They are show. They acted wickedly. Wicked. So we have over here so far three interpretations, translations. Chozek, they strengthened themselves to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Number two, they acted in a state of darkness. They did not get permission, so what they were doing, they went in the dark. And number three, they were wicked. I saw in Rabbi Michal Bernstein's sefer, what?
How does it become religious from the word Be'apilu?
Say again?
How is that?
Arshia, from the context, from the Targum. Targum v'arsho means wicked. Reish shin ayin, wicked. So the Targum is seemingly basing its translation on the context of the pasuk. They acted in a state of wickedness. Targum could be, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's a tradition. It's a mesira. We don't have an actual word present for this word. And the Targum is a mesira. It means they acted in it with a state of wickedness. Targum is a very, very extreme translation. Not like the Tanhuma and not like Rashi. I saw in the Sefer from Rabbi Michal Bernstein, Windows to the Soul, I believe it's called. He I think it's Zon Idea. He says once the Medrash already told us that we have a right to take the ayin and make it into an aleph, Lashon of Ophel, we have another translation which fits into the context of Afilos. Afilos Heina. Hachita v'hakusemes nuku. In the time of the arbe, the locust, but v'apishta v'hasoira lo nuku ki afilos heina, they were late because these things they were strong. These items blossomed, they developed at a later time in the year. Okay, how that fits into Arba, not for now, but the way it's translated there in the Pasuk is they were latecomers. Being that the barley developed later, at a later part in the year, it was not affected by the Arba. And that Pasuk, it's clear as day, the word Afilos means late. So here it fits perfectly into this Pasuk, Vayapilu. Too little, too late. Now, suddenly they decided we're going to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you decide now, after yesterday, you decide that you're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell you that you're going to die in the desert, and you're going to be there for 40 years, you're going to die in the desert. So now, Vayapilu! Now, take the Aleph, make it into an Aleph. Ki afilos heina, it fits perfectly into the context that they were late. They were late in arriving at the decision that it's kedai to come into Eretz Yisrael. That's a very powerful mussar, because since the Targum says that the primary translation of afilos means they were wicked, and this drush fits perfectly, it means that they were late, that tells us an act of delay is an act of wickedness. A person has to be a zoris, zrizim makdimim lemitzos, not being diligent in delaying, in stalling. It's not just you come late. It's an act of rebellion. It's an act of wickedness, because one thing leads to another. You've slipped down the slippery slope, and it's a lot deeper than just being too. It's a very great depth of being too little, too late. Okay, that is one idea. Let's keep this in mind for something we'll discuss a little bit later on. Let's now go to some other ideas. Another very beautiful idea, quick idea. I probably said this before. Moshe, at the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Zmispalel for Yehoshua. After he selects the Meraglim in the first Aliyah, Moshe calls for a Yehoshua. Vayikra Moshe leHoshea binun Yehoshua. Moshe changes the name of Hoshea to Yehoshua. Rashi says the word Vayikra does not just mean to call, a change of name. A change of name means to be mispalel. Ka Yoshiacha me'atzas Meraglim, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu save you from the council of the Meraglim. Yeshua, the Chazal tells us the reason why Moshe was concerned for Yeshua. Why wasn't Moshe concerned for Kalev? Why was Moshe only mispal for Yeshua? Why was Moshe not mispal for Kalev? So the symbol, what?
He wasn't in his Kalev.
He wasn't in it, Kol wasn't his Kol. So there's a lot of there. One of the most popular interpretations is because Yoshua was extremely humble. Eldad, Umeidad, Misnam, Machne, he said to Moshe, Kiloim, to destroy the Moshe. Yoshua Benun was extremely humble. And Moshe felt here that his humility would work against him. He may decide that he has to humble his opinion to the opinion of the other miraculum. Kolev, on the other hand, was Ruach Acheres Hoysebo. Kolev had a shtickle gaiva. Kolev was a what? Oh, that's right. Kolev, they rejoiced. So Kolev had a gaiva. Nachshon, maybe not off. Nachshon. So Kolev had a shtickle gaiva. Gaiva de kedusha. Moshe had to marry. Moshe had to be mispalul for Yehoshua because Yehoshua, he was meek, he was humble. Moshe was afraid that he would be influenced by the Meraglim. But Kolev was ruach acheres hoisavah. That's what it says there in the parasha by the Meraglim. Hashem told the Meraglim all the Meraglim are going to die with the exception of Yehoshua and Kolev, because Kolev was ruach acheres hoisavah. Ruach means he had fire. He had a gaivu de kedusha. He was not willing to listen to other people's opinion. He was strong in his own opinion. It was not necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalul on behalf of Kolev. There's a beautiful vart from Rav Yashiv Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He says the reason, this is Liman Musar, Liman, very powerful Liman Musar, the reason why, who was Kolev married to? Kolev was married to Miriam.
Right,
who was Miriam? Miriam was the one that told her father she went against the entire world. Amram, the Gadol Hadar, said that therefore it's not kedai to have children. Miriam's told her father, your gzir is worse than Paro. Paro goes on like Zchami, goes on the kavos. So she insisted. She went up against her father. Father listened. And then when Moshe was taken out to the Nile, put in the teva, taken out to the Nile, to be thrown to the Nile, what happened? She had no doubt that Moshe would be saved. She only stood from afar to know how Moshe would be, how would survive. Who was she married to? She was married to Kolev. And that's what Rav Yar says, what it means in the pasuk. Kolev, ruach acheres hoisaba. Who was the ruach acheres? His wife. His wife was the ruach acheres. When you have a good wife, here's the liman musar. Liman musar is when you have a good wife, you don't need to go to the Rebbe for a bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua had to run to Uman. He had to run to Rosh Hashanah, to Uman. He had to run to Rashbi. He had to run because Yoshua, he wasn't married. He was a bocher. He later married Rachav. Maybe he had other wives. But Kolev, ruach acheres hoisabo, he was under the influence of a tzadekes of Miriam. Memele, it wasn't even necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalel for him. Memele, he would be successful.
Had other wives besides Rachav?
We don't know. Yeah.
Can I just because I never liked, because it's so beautiful what Rabbi Appelman says. Why did he take the name, the letters from Sarah? What was the point of taking just Stam Sarah? You can take a A from here and a U from here. Because Sarah was the one that said, Kilo Yirash Ben Oma Azos in B'ni Yimitzchak.
Ah.
So she needed the chizuk of Sarah.
Yerusha
was the one who said it, you know, that she knew that, you know, Jews and Arabs can't live in Eretz Israel, that's it, they have to go. Yeshua had to have that strength, so he took the letters from Sarah's.
Very nice. Very nice.
But it's first guess, Moshe, in last week's parasha, it says, Moshe on a miyad, call it a Moshe on a miyad.
Yeah.
So why, he asked the question, why this wasn't transmitted over to his Talmud.
Humility?
Yeah, the time, and there are times to stand.
Who says it was not? Yeah.
No, but Moshe Rabbeinu stood up. He stood up to Karev.
Yeah.
When the Nevis stand up, as a Nevis, was this way.
That's not a Nevis. He was doing. He wasn't for his own car. A Nevis is your own car, but not the car.
I know that.
So Rabbi Yudin says, "Rabbi Yudin, yeah."
He says, "Oh yes." And his shaila is, "What you, the remiss he was giving over when he changed the name is he was telling him." At times you have to stand up. You're going to be the future leader of Klal Yisrael. And at times you have to
stand up. Humility is not always an option.
It's not always an option.
Okay, very good. Beautiful.
Yeah, Rabbanel, very quick. Yeah, Rabbanel makes an intro by Yikro Moshe, Hoshea ben Yoshua. He was given name was Hoshea, but Moshe always called him Yoshua because he saw in him greatness. He saw the Ruach Hashem that he had. So he always, he says,
last week's parsha, he's called Yeshua.
Chalas HaMolek.
But Moshe, because Moshe always called Yeshua from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
And eventually it caught on. And that was after this, everybody.
Everyone called him Yeshua, but until now he was
wasn't
very nice.
Changed his name
of HaMolek. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, he was already called Yeshua. Yeshua. It was a private name. Now it became a public name. Very nice.
It's like he gave him a nickname.
Okay, let's go. What is the essence of the Chayin HaMeravim? I saw a very short, beautiful idea, which is a powerful limud musa for all of us. The Meraglim, is there really a taina on the Meraglim? The Meraglim, they were very, very great people. They were the Nesiim. A lot of the Mefarshim, they work very, very hard to find the limud zechus. In what were these tzaddikim thinking when they came back and issued a slanderous report? They were legitimate concerns about entering Eretz Yisrael at this point in time. Maybe we should stay in the Midbar for a period of time until we're ready to come into Eretz Yisrael. Where in their words can you pinpoint the shoresh, the root of their defect? So I saw in a sif, I don't remember where I saw this. The root is in one simple word. If you were writing this parsha, okay, you were given the task to write parsha Shlach, and you would come to the report. So let's read the words. Vayisapul avayim el banu el aretz. We have arrived in the land. Asher shilachtanu v'gam zovas cholav udvash. He v'zeh piryah. And then we're going to start the buts. The buts. There are a lot of buts. Ki as ha'am hayoyshe ba'aretz ve'he'orim bitzudos k'dolos me'or v'gam yilidei ho'anok rinu sham. How would you begin the buts? What word would you choose? What word do we have in Tanakh consistently to use for the word but?
Avol.
Avol, but. That seemingly would be the proper word to use. Ere gam zavas chalo v'dvash hi v'zeh piryo. Avol! It's a beautiful land. Zovas cholav udvash, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. But there are problems. Avol ki as ha'om hayoshev v'aretz. But that's not what it says. It says in the Pasuk, Ephes. Ephes means, modern Hebrew, zero. And it means, the biblical Hebrew also means zero. This is the shorish of their chet. In life, there are milus and chesronos. When you have chesronos, alright, they are chesronos. But the chesronos do not negate the milos. You have chesronos, will deal with the chesronos in the proper time and place. But that does not take away from the fact that we're makir toiv to the Ribbono Shel Olam that they are milos. And look at the milos. Enjoy the milos. Relish the milos. And deal with the chesronos. When you live a life where the chesronos, everything is negative. There's not one good thing to say about this world. Ephes, the chesronos, negate the milos. You're in a lot of trouble. Just the fact that it's true that the land is Eretz, Zovas, Cholov, Udvash, Vezeh, Piryah, that alone should be enough to go into Eretz Yisrael. And even if they're 100% right, there are Anokim, and there's Eretz Echel Yeshveha, and there are major, major flaws with the land, okay, we'll deal with it. We'll work, we'll figure out a solution. We'll figure out, we'll live in underground caves until the Anokim die out. But, Zavas Chol V'Dvash, the Chet is Ephes. It's all worthless. The milus are worthless because of the chesronos. A person that lives such a life is in a lot of trouble. And you know, that's the nature of people on the blogs. Go online, that is mamish, the nature. They paint a picture of this world is mamish coming to. Why is Drudge the most popular website in the world? Because if you notice in Drudge, there is not a stitch of good news. Every single headline, Bli Yoytzei Min HaKlal, is bad news. And anything good that there is in this world is Ephes. Ephes, Kneged, all of the chesronos of the world is coming to pieces. Yeah.
Yisachar Teichta and Rabbanu Smecha accused all the Rabbanim in Europe who said, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. Exactly the same thing.
Ephes.
For being a
miraglim
gets Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Now, you know.
Okay, okay, let's not go there. But I hear what you're saying. It's a very powerful limud musa. There's a word avol. Avol is a good word. It's a negative word. It's but. You know, we don't want to hear the word. You go for business every time you go. Yeah. But you're waiting for that but word. But it's okay. A bat means the amilus and the achesronos. Fs means the achesronos, wipe out the amilus. These three letters is the shoresh of the chet hamaraglim. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw this idea, just to touch upon this different, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, he points out the following, how could it be that the Meraglim would issue a slam, how could Moshe Rabbeinu send the Meraglim if Moshe Rabbeinu knew there were problems? The Meraglim, obviously, Moshe, from Chazal, not to go through the details, detected, we got a problem here. We have people over here, they're asking questions, they don't have faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe saw, they're not looking for the good. So why did Moshe send them? So you'll tell me, because if Moshe will tell them not to go, then it'll be even worse. You can make all these, play these mind games of the lesser of the evils. Okay, Enochanan. Rabbi Yosher says something very, very simple. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right, I see you lack faith, but when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be smitten by its kedusha, by its beauty, and you'll change your mind. I have no, there's a chesaron, there's a lack of faith. And I have a lot of problems. You're going to have to ask me, there will be a day of reckoning for your lack of emunah. Okay, we'll deal with it. But in the meantime, taka go, and like, you know, birthright. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you're overtaken by the Kedusha Sa'aretz, it changes your life. Moshe Rabbeinu was the inventor of birthright. Okay, that's what he was telling them. So why did it fail? Where did it go wrong? Moshe's plan, what happened? So he has an incredible diuk. The diak is Moshe Rabbeinu when he tells them, he prepares them, he preps them on for the trip. Go take a look. Okay, let me go further. Let me find the part that I need. Now here, the first pasuk. I'm sorry, the very pasuk Yitzayin, the very beginning. By Yishlach Oysa Moshe L'Suras Aretz, Moshe sends them to tour the land, to spy the land. Eretz Kanan. Vayim Aleihem Aluze Banegev. Let me tell you how to go. I want you to go my way. You go down from the south. Aluze Banegev Va'alisem Esahar, and ascend the mountain. Rashi Taka says, why the Negev and then the Har? The Negev is the worst part of Eretz Yisrael. You can say such a thing. Okay, what does Rashi say? Pasuk Yitzayin. Who are you? Hapesoilas. This was the psoilas shel Eretz Yisrael. Shkein derech hatagorim marin es hapesoilas. A merchant, you first show the lower quality and you work your way up. Right? You want to sell someone. This is our B model. Then we show you the A model, the A plus model, the gold model. V'yachakach marin es hashevach. Okay, very good. When the Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael, what does it say? They enter the land. Vayavo anacha vayalu vanegev. Vayalu pasuk of aleph. Vayalu vayasura saretz. Maybe vartzim yad rechov levo chamos. Vayalu vanegev. They ascend the negev. Vayavo ad chevron. But they never ascended the mountain. They never followed instructions. Moshe told them, "You shall go up the mountain. Go to the negev." And from the Negev you go to the mountain. The mountain is symbolic of more than just a mountain. The mountain is Esa Einai El Heharim, Al Tikri Heharim El Heharim, parents, the Avos. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, when you go to the land, you go up to the mountain. Meaning, you go to the Mekomos HaKadoshim, you go to the place of the Avos, you go to the spiritual places in the land. Not just the Negev, don't where the tourists go to Eilat and to the hotels. Take in the mountains. Al Tikri Harim El Hoirim, the Avos. Like what Kolev did. Kolev was Taka the one who went to Chevron. He Taka went to the Har. The ultimate Har is Maris Machpelah. They didn't follow instructions. That's why the plan failed. Moshe was correct. There was a problem. There was a lack of faith. Okay, we'll deal with it at a later point in time. But birthright. Birthright is foolproof. You go learn and learn Eretz Yisrael. It changes your life. That's if you go to learn. If you go to have a good time, it can ruin your life. The Meraglim didn't go to learn. They didn't go to the right place. They didn't go to the Horim. They went to the Negev. And that's why the plan did not work. Okay, this... Ad b'chevron means Ad, below the cloud, below... Ad, first of all, Chazal Darshan, Vayavo, only refers to Kolev. Kolev was the only one who went to Chevron. Ad means they taka went, but they didn't go the right, they didn't go the scenic route. They went with the train. They didn't see what they were supposed to see. They didn't go to the right place. And the Musa Haskell is people go to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone every so often go on vacation. If you're going l'chatchil with the kavana to have a good time, to have a vacation, to enjoy the good hotels, to socialize, you're not going to take what there is to get. You have to go with the right intent. Alu el hahor. The kavana has to be to go to the mountain. You could also take in the good hotels and all the enjoyment, but the kavana has to be the proper kavana. And then, even if you have problems, you can have emunah that all of your questions of faith will be solved. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's discuss about about tchelas. Okay, this is a beautiful idea. It's a short lima musa. We have a mitzvah of tchelas. When is the mitzvah of tzitzis? When do we begin? What is the purpose of tchelas? The purpose of tchelas is reisimus of tchelas called mitzvah shemas. Reisimus of milukin tchelas, and you see the tchelas reminded of the yam demel rukia, rukia demel kisya kavod. It's going to remind you of a kadosh baruch hu. The reisimus of tchelas is called mitzvah shem. It's an incredible mitzvah. When is the mitzvah of tchelas begin? The mitzvah of tchelas begins by day. When is it called day? When is it called Zman Re'iyah? It's not necessarily halachic day. It's the time of the day when you can recognize, Chazal say, Mishayagir Eschaveroi Harogel Imay Ktsas. The time of the day when you can see at a distance of Dalet Amos, I'm at a distance of 6 to 8 feet, and there's enough light in the sky that I can recognize who you are. If there's enough light in the day to recognize who you are, that's when the mitzvah of tzitzis begins. And what is the mitzvah of tzitzis? It's to look at the tcheles and to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baalei Musa say, you learn here a very powerful limud Musa. There's been Adam l'chaveroi and there's been Adam l'makom. If a person lives a life only been Adam l'makom, only focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're striving your whole day to chab malachim, to go and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the kisya HaKavod, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to serve Him by serving man. And that's why the mitzvah of tcheles is intertwined with the mitzvah of roye eschaveroi harogil imo, to recognize the existence of another human being that you're familiar with ktsas. The zman when you can become aware of another person is here in my presence. I know who you are. I can say hello to you. I can identify you. I can have respect for you. That's the moment when you have the ability to come and see the kisei hakavod. The two are totally zeh bezeh. There's no such thing as serving a kadosh baruch hu ben adam lamakom without serving an l'chaveru. There's no such thing as ben adam l'chaveru ben adam lamakom. The two mitzvos are intertwined. Chazal specifically gave the zman of tcheles is the time when you can see, recognize, appreciate chaveru harogel imay ktsas berichuk dal namas. Adam l'chaveru is totally ben adam lamakom.
Says that in the morning you're not supposed to greet
people.
If someone greets you,
you'll respond. You respond. Okay, but the zman of the 2 minutes are intertwined to indicate they're totally zebezek.
That's only in Brooklyn.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now I would be remiss if I were not mention this week's parasha. Focus from all the parashas of the Torah, focuses the most on which one of the Ishiya Tanakh? Anyone can guess? The man of the hour. Who is the man of the hour? Not our mayor, I'm sorry. Who is the man of the hour? Eyov. Eyov. Where is their remes to Eyov in this week's parasha? Hayesh bo eitz im ayin. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Meraglim, check out the land, see if there is an eitz. Is there a person, is ki ha'odam eitz hasadeh? Maybe there is a tzaddik. There is a tzaddik living in the land of Canaan, and in his zuchus, he will save us, the whole Eretz Yisrael. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a malchama. It's going to be violent. We're going to wipe out the whole country. 7 nations. Hashem will not allow this to happen if there's a tzaddik that is among them that will be megan on the door. There's going to be blood. Who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? If they, we know for a fact that they were wicked. The pasuk very clearly says, "Loi me avas pasuk in Veschanan says that I'm bringing you to Eretz not because you deserve it. It's because of Mirishas Ha'an Mohem. The people of Canaan were extremely evil. They were wicked, and they deserve to be destroyed. But if there was one tzaddik living among them, Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Gemara says, Bava Basra says, Hayesh Ve'Eitz Anayin. If there's one tzaddik living in the land, then then in Echnami it could very well be that we won't be able to ascend, because in his Zuchus they will be protected and will be prevented.
But if Hashem said goes,
that's what I'm coming to. Then we're going to have a problem. They're going to spy the land. That's the purpose. The purpose is these are spies. They're challenging Kadosh Baruch. Maybe it's not yet the time. They're challenging the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We have to remember, they weren't supposed to go out until 400 years. They went out prematurely. So maybe in the meantime, they'll just tarry in the desert until they're ready to go. Who says now is the proper time? That's the purpose of the Meraglim. We got
to
see what's doing. We got
to
see what. We got to see what's. We'll go to another location. We'll live in a certain part. They'll come. That's what the spies do. Intelligence. Reconnaissance. What?
How do you check out? I know Russia. Yes.
Intelligence. Reconnaissance. Drones. They send in drones. Surveillance. That's what it's all about. That's the purpose of going into. That's the purpose of the Meraglim. They're coming to see what's doing when. And that's exactly what Moshe instructed Yesh Emetzayim. And indeed, what the Chazal say, Tzor Tzilam, when they came into Israel, what happened? Chazal, the Mamre Bash elaborates very much. They found there were funerals all over the place. And Chazal, the Gemara and Baba Basha and Daf Tezayin said explicitly, according to one opinion, the day when the Meraglim entered into Eretz Yisrael, Eoiv died. Eoiv was Nifter. And everyone was busy being maspid. Eoiv. And Chazal goes further to explain the custom in ancient times. Ancient times, the custom was when a person would die, they wouldn't bury them right away. They would put him in a freezer. And they would wait until a tzaddik dies. Why? Why would they wait until a tzaddik dies? Because when the tzaddik dies, we don't know how these things work, but similarly in ancient times they did. When a tzaddik dies, the tzaddik without question goes to Gan Eden. The Rishonim don't go to Gan Eden. So if a Rasha dies and the Rasha is buried and he comes to Shemam, he knocks on the door and he wants entry into Gan Eden, they say, sorry buddy, doors are locked, you're not going anywhere, you go back where you came from. But when the tzaddik comes, they open the door, the neshama of the tzaddik comes, the Gan Eden is open. All the neshamas that are lingering, that attach themselves to the tzaddik, get a free pass. Once the tzaddik, they sneak in with the tzaddik. That's what it says. Therefore, the custom was, when people would die, they would not bury them, they would wait until the tzaddik dies. And when the tzaddik dies, they bury everyone. Because they believe that that the tzaddik will take on his coattails all of the Rishonim, all the people of that generation with him into Gan Eden. So there were many people who died throughout the years that were waiting for burial. The day the Meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael, the Tzaddik Hadar of Canaan died, Eov died. Now that Eov died, Eov is certainly going into Gan Eden. We will now, all of the Mesim will attach themselves to Eov. So there were massive funerals. The whole Eretz Canaan was busy burying their dead on the day that the Meraglim came, because Eov died, and now was the time when all the dead were buried. So therefore, this was to the great advantage of the Meraglim, because if there was nothing doing, people would right away inquire, why are you here? Meraglim Atem, you're spies, what are you doing here in our country? And they would be suspicious. But being that everyone was extremely busy on this day burying their dead, people did not have time to take note that there are strangers among us.
They thought they were relatives.
They didn't know what was going on, so therefore this was to their advantage. The Meraglim spoke Lashnar. They said, no, it's an Eretz, Eichelis, Yashvecha. What kind of land is this? People are dying right and left. They fail to understand the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done on their behalf. Okay, so this is the Gemara. Just record a few of the Gemara. What? We don't know when they died. It doesn't say we don't know when they died. That's not an issue. Okay, this is the Gemara. Now, this is an introduction I want to say. Baba Basra Daf Tezayin. So the Gemara makes it very clear there was indeed, this was an instruction of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayetz, Eitz, and Ayin. The entire entry to Eretz hinged, depended upon the existence of Eiv. Was Eiv alive or not? And indeed, when they entered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now took away their schus, sor, tzila me'alehem, their shadow departed. In other words, when they entered in Echnami, their zechus, the merit, the one that would have protected them, would have prevented Klal Yisrael from coming in, has departed. They no longer have a tzaddik to be megan, and now Klal Yisrael can enter. This is what we learned in the Gemara of Basra, Clear's Day. Now let's go. The Meraglim chose not to know this. This was presented. The Meraglim were evil, they were Rishonim. They chose to ignore the facts or to misinterpret the facts. That's all part of what the Gemara says. Okay, that's Hagdam. Now let's come to the point I want to make. We have a Chazal in the Medrash with regard to, we mentioned this Chazal numerous times. The Satan comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, let's test Iyov. Let's take away his wealth, let's take away his children, and let's see how he reacts. Hashem, you say about Iyov that he is a Yerush Shamayim, and Ein Ki Ein Kamohu Baras. I'll read the pasuk at the very beginning of Sefer Iyov. Ayom Hashem al-Satan, Hasamta Libcha El Avdi Iyov, Ki Ein Kamohu Baras. There's no one like you in the whole Eretz, Ki Ish Tom V'Yashar Yirei Elokim V'Sonei Ra. Vayan hasotan es Hashem vayomar hachinam yare yom es elukim halayata sachta ba'adoy v'ad besov v'ad kol hashalom misaviv. You protected him. Why don't you go and afflict him? What was the machshava of the Satan? So let me read you the Gemara. It's also the Gemara of the Basra. Satan came on the chozia when he saw lehakadosh baruch hu did not yodaitei bosar iyov. Hashem had a special love for Iyov. Omar, the Satan, was L'shem Shemayim. Chas v'sholoim min shilei l'rachmonusei Avram. Hashem will forget about the compassion, the love of Avram. Now let me ask you a question. If you have two children, do you love one more than the other? Of course not. Each one is special in his own right. What's the problem? Hashem loves Avram, and Hashem loves Iyov. Especially, they live different parts of the world, different generations. What's the problem?
The Satan saw it different.
Why does the Satan see it different? Why? What's the problem? What's the problem? Hashem loves Iyov. Very good. So you love Avram. They're different. Two different people. Keshem Shepartzuf. They made him Shavas Kach. They're the same. Well, there's a very good question. Pasha Pshah in the Gemara. So I saw an incredible answer to this question from Rav Eliyahu Atya. So the Mechaber of the Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu, I quoted him already a few times. So a very big Rebbe, Yitzchol. His father is a big, big time Mekubal. His Sefer, and interesting, has almost no Kabbalah. It's all Rabbi Eliyahu Atya. Rabbi Eliyahu Atya, his Sefer is Jush. There's no Kabbalah in the whole Sefer. His father is from the big Mekubal, and there it was from the big Mekubal, Rabbi Yitzchol. Oh yeah, that was the one?
Yeah.
So, okay, it's a very, very tremendous Talmud Chacham, beautiful Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu. So he says a fascinating answer. He says, it's true. You can love both children, you can love two people, that's provided there's no conflict. But what happens, chas v'shalom, if there's a fire, and you only can save one, or there's a problem, you're in a lot of trouble. You have to make a decision. There, so as long as you don't have to make any decisions to selection, then everything is. But when you have to make a decision, then you have a problem. Maybe Hashem will love Iyov more than Avram. Where is the conflict? So he explains very simple. How long was Klal Yisrael supposed to be in Mitzrayim? 400 years. The Avodim, the Inuyosam, Arba Meoshan for 400 years. What happened? They sung to a level of Memtesh Shari Tumah. They had no choice but to leave, and now they're leaving after 210 years, 190 years early. They're coming into Eretz Yisrael. You don't deserve to come into Eretz Yisrael. It's premature. There was a bris. What right do you have to take away the land from these people? It's premature. You don't have a right to come here. It's too early. So Hashem said, you know, I'm going to make an exception. I love Avram. Let me read you a Medrash Rabbah. So the Medrash, I'm sorry, Yalkut Shmoni, in the beginning of this week's parasha, the Yalkut Shmoni is very disturbed why we're here by the Meraglim. We're referred to it as the land of Canaan. And the Yalkut Shmoni says, because Canaan is the gematria of, not the gematria, is of 190. Canaan, you have the letters, Canaan is 190. They're coming into the land 190 years early. How old was Avraham when he gave birth to Yitzchak? Ki lezarecha etein es ha'aretz hazos. Ki biyitzchak yikol lecha zara. Lezarecha etein. How old was Avraham when he had his child? 100. How old was Sarah?
90.
What's 190? 190. Canaan is 190. The 190 is written all over the parish of Eretz Yisrael. It's premature. You don't deserve to come into Eretz Yisrael now. You're supposed to be here for 400 years. It's premature. You can't come in now. But I'm going to let you come in because I love Avraham. I promised Avraham and Sarah, ki lezarecha etein es ha'aretz hazos. Avraham, oy havai. Avraham, my beloved. I'm going to do everything I want from Avraham. And therefore, you're coming into Canaan. It's premature, but it's 190. Avraham, I'm going to let you go inside. But you got a problem. Because there's someone else that I love very much also. And you know who that person is? Eiv. Eiv is living here in Eretz Yisrael. And Eiv, although the people of Eretz Yisrael are all wicked, Pasuk explicitly says in Dvarim, they're wicked, ki lo ilo lo me'avas Hashem, ki me'rishas ha'goyim ha'ele, the evil deeds, avod zara, the midos, all the terrible things that they did in Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, there's a tzaddik among us, Eiv. And Eiv, ha'yesh bo'etzem ayin, ki ha'odam eitz ha'sode, Eiv will protect the whole Eretz Canaan, and Eiv is within his rights. I have 190 years of my life yet to go after Hashem restored his health. I'm restored. So we got a problem. We got a conflict. On the one hand, Hashem loves Avraham, and Hashem promised the seed of Avraham to Eretz Yisrael. But if they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to wipe out Canaan. But there's a tzaddik living in Canaan who Hashem loves very much, Eiv. And he's Megan, and Eiv is Megan on the entire door. And Eiv's existence prevents the Bnei Avraham from entry.
And the Gemara of Eiv is 19, so it's like 190.
Also 190, Misparkatan. No, Misparkatan, you always can discard zeros. Misparkatan. So we got a problem. We have a conflict. We got a conflict. Who will Hashem choose? The Satan says, you know, there's a conflict. Maybe if Hashem says, look what Hashem's pasuk. Did you take a look at Eiv? In Ish Tom, the Yosha, Yirei Elokim, the Somerah. And the Satan is listening to this and says, Houston, we got a problem here. Because if Hashem loves Eiv more than Avram, Hashem will say, you know what? Don't go into Eretz Yisrael. It's premature. Stick it out in the desert for 190 years. Klal Yisrael is not going to survive 190 years in the desert. They're not going to make it. And that will be the end of Klal Yisrael. What could I do? I love Avram. I love Eiv. The Satan says, Shem chas v'shalom min she'lei l'rachumonusei Avram. Hashem will forget about Avram and choose Eiv. Eiv will remain alive. He'll be making on the door. He'll make it on the door. Klal Yisrael is not going nowhere. They're stuck in the desert. Stuck in the desert, they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. What? The son's not in trouble.
He loses clients.
He'll lose his client. So therefore, the Satan was his havel l'shem shemayim to show Avraham is the true servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not he's the and therefore, when Hashem will choose sides, when Hashem will have to make a decision in this conflict, Hashem will select the Bnei Avram, Avram Oyhavai, my beloved. And therefore, Eiv died. Eiv has to die. Eiv has to die prematurely. He had a very good long life. He lived 210 years. Okay, but Eiv has to die because I have to make a choice. And that now the Gemara opens up the Gemara, a whole new world in the Gemara, fasting and tradition of the Gemara to understand what was the sudden chesed, the conflict between Eiv and Avram. Also, this also answers a very interesting question. There's a very interesting question when we have here part of the Yud the Gimel Midas Harachamim. When the Meraglim come into land, they defy the land. They don't want to enter the land. And they send Moshe's mispalel to Hashem. Hashem, Kel, Rachel, Nechanun, Erech, Apayim, Nos, Techesel, all you, come on, all you going with us. Why doesn't Moshe invoke the Zuchus of us? Zuchor le Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov. Doesn't say that. All the Farshim are very troubled. Zuchus of us. There's a big Yud. V'yata, Yigdal, No, Koyach, Hashem, the big Yud is the Ten Nisyonos. But it's not explicit. Why? You know why? Because it's Avmik, because the only reason why you're going into Eretz Yisrael is because I am remembering Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's not necessary. It would be counterproductive to invoke Zuchus Avos. The only only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking us into Eretz Yisrael is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka loves Avraham more than Eof. So now for Moshe Rabbeinu to say Zechor LeAvraham, you don't have to remember Avraham. Avraham is here. The only reason why you're going into Eretz Yisrael is because I've chosen Avraham over Eof. So therefore it would be counterproductive to say remember Avraham. What do you mean remember? That's why I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, because I've been dafka remember Avraham. I'm giving Avraham over Eof. Okay, but this is a very fascinating idea from Rav Adya, a beautiful interpretation of why Eof here is such an important part of the equation of coming into Eretz Yisrael. Why bedafka he died on the day that they come in, and how?
Rabbi,
yeah.
Question: when Moshe said to Morocco,
yeah,
he sort of set up the seeds of dissension. He gave them a shopping list, what to look for.
Okay.
Had he said to them, "Go look," and that's it, maybe they would not have their negative report based on seeds of dissension ideas. When he sent out to Merlaka, look at this.
Not necessarily. They chose.
Because that's what the Avar Fidel says.
Uh-huh. How did Moshe, they're not focused?
Unfortunately, Moshe didn't mean it that way, but he sowed the seeds by choosing his words badly when he said, Habamachalim im.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Why is he saying that? We're going to have to fight. Uh-oh.
Okay. One more vart. One last vart.
It says Vachamush, and they took weapons with them, right? Vachamush.
Well, he says that the unfortunate choice of words.
Okay.
Mean it that way,
but
that's what he said.
Okay. Last vart. Near the end of the parasha, there is a very, very mysterious Rashi. Farshim struggle over this Rashi. They struggle with this Rashi very much. Seal techilis. On the tzitzis, we are required to insert a psil, a thread of tchelis. Now let's follow, I think it's the Ram. There are three opinions as to how we apply tchelis to the tzitzis. We know tzitzis have four strings, which are folded over to produce eight. So there are three opinions. One opinion holds that two of those four should be tchelis, which would result in four of the strings being tchelis. Another opinion is one chut, which would be tchelis, which would be two of the strings. But the most common way it's done today, I think, is the sheet of the Rambam, is where a half of one chut is die tchelis, which basically means from the eight chutim which hang out in front of you, only one of the eight is blue. The other seven are white. There are seven lavan and one chut of tchelis. Let's follow for now that approach, which appears to be the most popular approach, the accepted approach of how one should die his tzitz. If he has tchelis, one chut is tchelis and the other seven strings are white. Now Rashi says, why are there eight strings? The very one of the last Rashi in Chumash, Rashi versus Psil Tchelis, comes from Al Shem Shikul B'choros. The reason why it's called a Psil, because the Targum of Shikul, bereavement, death to children, is the word Tichle. Is so Tcheles is the same Sharesh, Tof Chof Lamed, and therefore Psil Tcheles is a reminder from Makas Bechorim. It's a reminder that the firstborns of the Egyptians were smitten. The Egyptians had Shikul Ban, and their children died the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Umakosam Hoysa Balail. The Chain Tseva Tcheles Demel Rukia. Then he goes on the Tseva Tcheles Demel Rukia, Hamashchir, which is dark. The dye of Tcheles is a darkish dye. The ace air, the color of the sky in the evening. Okay, then Rashi says what is very disturbing, which many commentators, Rishonim, Achronim, all dwell upon. Ushmoine chutin sheba, there are eight strands or eight chutin. Kineged shmoine yamim sheshohu Yisrael mishiyatsu mimitzrayim ad sheomru shira al hayam. There are eight chutin corresponding to the 8 days that Klal Yisrael delayed, tarried from the time they left Egypt until the time they sang Shira Al Hayah. Now, when do we say Oz Yashir? Shvi Yishol Pesach. Okay, Shira. The Shira Sayam took place on Kriyas Yamsov, took place 7 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim, not 8 days. So what in the world is Rashi talking about, that there were 8 days from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim to the time of Kriyas Yamsov?
No.
So what does the Zechum say?
There it says they can
Erev Pesach. Okay, we're going to focus. We're going to mention. So this is very disturbing. Where do you get eight chutim connected the eight streaks? So one, there are one interpretation is that there's a tosad tfus. It means 8 days from after kriyas. The different gears entirely after kriyas yamsof until they left. In other words, there were 8 days where they were involved in bizas hayom. It's a very extreme interpretation. It's a different girsa. The only 7 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yamsuf, but after Kriyas Yamsuf, until they traveled again, they spent 8 days at Yamsuf collecting the spoils of the Egyptians. That's there. Okay. However, the Sisachom touch the answers is coming from Rabbeinu Bechaya, and comes from also the Meshech Chochma, which is an Achron, obviously, and the Sfasemes, and they all basically say the same idea that we're referring to Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach was significant because the Shechtit, Shechitas HaPesach, takes place Erev Pesach. But Rabbeinu Bechaya says something more specific. He says, Yitzias Mitzrayim began with Paro granting permission. Kumu tzu'u mitochami, gam atem b'gam b'nei Yisrael. A critical element, ingredient, of Yitzias Mitzrayim is where Paro granted the Jewish permission reshus. Remember when we said before, Vayapilu? Vayapilu, they decided now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And why is it called Apilu Tanchuma? Apilu Lashon of Ophel, darkness. They did not get permission. They entered Eretz Yisrael without permission from Moshe Rabbeinu. Critical element of Yitzias Mitzrayim was when Moshe would continuously ask Paro, let my people go. Let my people grant us permission. Permission was denied 10 times, more than 10 times, over and over. No, 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 I do not grant you permission. Finally, Chatzos Laila, after Makas Becharos, Paro granted permission in Netilas Rishus. These are the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya. Mizman, that's on the 14th day. Netilas Rishus until Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the culmination, the death of the Egyptians as a nation, that was exactly 8 days. Now, let's take a step back. How many chutim do we have? Rashi says the first chut, the first interpretation, the Psil Techeles corresponds to Makas Bechoros, the night of the 14th, which was the impetus for Paro to grant permission. We can perhaps suggest, Al Derech Drush, is that there are 8 strings. The 7 white strings correspond to the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20, and 21. The chut, the one chut shel tcheles, corresponds to day 14, corresponds to netilas rishus. Here's the yisod. Hashem told us the tzitzis are 7 white, 1 blue. There are 8 days. The 8 days and the 8 chutim correspond, the 7 white correspond to the 7 days from the actual Exodus, 15 to 21. But the 1 chut that is blue specifically corresponds to Erev Pesach. What is the significance of Erev Pesach? Netilas Rishus, permission. Now let me give you another avard about Netilas Rishus. The Chasam Sofer says Yerech. What is Yerech? The word Yerech, Yud, it means the thigh. Yerech is Rosh Tevos, the code, the Chasam Sofer, for Tcheles. Because Yerech is Yam, Rokia, and Kise. Yud, Yam, Chof is Kise, Resh, Rokia. Yam, Kise, Rokia. The Malach, and let me just tell you a short var to enhance this var. Bezman Hazeh, there are many mitzvahs that we do not have an opportunity to do. Why? Because we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash with Zman Hazeh, and we don't live in Eretz. We don't have, and that prevents us from doing many mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah that we don't do Bizman Hazeh B'Shleimus that has nothing to do with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, has nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash, and that is Tcheles. Tcheles, it's been lost from us due to persecution. The identity of the Chila Zone has been lost from us, at least with certainty from Klal Yisrael. And this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. If we knew with certainty today what is the Tcheles, we would all wear a Tcheles, even though we now live in the majority of Klal Yisrael is not present, there's no Beis HaMikdash. This is hinted to in the in the Maisa of Yaakov and Esav, Vayovek Ishimo, Adalois HaShachar, Maisa of Osimilabonim, the wrestling of the Malach with Yaakov is a Maisa for the Golus. At the end of the wrestling, Vayoga Bekaf HaYorech. Vayiga Bekaf HaYorech, Yitzolea Al Yorecho. The Satan hit, injured Yaakov to the point where he was Solel Yerecho. The Yerech was damaged, was taken away, was dislodged. The Yerech is an allusion to the fact that Satan has infected us with the lack in Golos of Techeles. Yam Rakia Kisei. What did the Malach do at the point when he got Kaf Yerecho? He asked Rishus. Shalcheni ki Allah Hashachar. I ask you, Yaakov Avinu, Rishus, permission. Allow me to return and say Shira. What is the prerequisite for Malachim to say Shira? We say this every single day of davening. V'noisnim Rishus ze lo ze lahaktish liyotz shemenachas shuach. Netilas Rishus represents spirituality. It represents Yira Shemaim. It represents a sensitivity to spirituality. Chazal say, Il mole moira, look what's going on in Iraq now. Il mole moira, there's no fear. Ish esrei eyu chayim below. What's the opposite of chayim below? The tilas rishus. They're cherets. Rishus. Malachim are spiritual creatures. They are in the presence of moira, of the Ribbono shel Olam, of fear. Malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, it's the extreme opposite. Just like Chazal said, il moli mor rof, there's no yira. Ish esrei eyu chayim below. If there is yira, what's the opposite? Derech Eretz. Netilas Rishus Zeh Lo Zeh. Techeles, the purpose of the tzitz is to have Yira Shemayim. V'loy Sosuru Achrei Levavchem V'achrei Einechem. When you have Yira Shemayim and V'loy Sosuru, what does that do to a person? It fills him up with a need of Derech Eretz. A need of Netilas Rishus. So there's a common theme. The common theme is Techeles. The purpose of Techeles is a reminder, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. When there's Yira, there is Derech Eretz. There's a two Chazal, Mayim Chazal, which are parallel one another. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Before Chochma comes Yira Shemayim. Before Chochma comes Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The two go hand in hand. They're the same. Yira Shemayim is a sign, a symptom that a person is infected with Yira Shemayim. Is he has Derech Eretz. The two go hand in hand. That's what Tchelas is. Tchelas is remind yourself. Have Yira Shemayim. It's also a reminder. Have Derech Eretz. Netilas Rishus Ze Lo Ze. And that is what Esav has taken away from us. Esav has taken away from us Yirah Shemayim, and with the lack of Yirah Shemayim is Sinas Chinam, is Golus, the Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of by Edom, because of the Sidna Shel Esav. There's no Yirah Shemayim, there's no Derech Eretz, there's no Derech Eretz, that's all summarized in the term of Sinas Chinam. So the Sach HaKol is, you look at the Tcheles, it's a reminder. The Neidlim Rishus Zeh Lo Zeh Derech Eretz Kadem LaTorah, and that gives us more appreciation of Vayapilu, the chait of the moral of after effect of not going is now we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael Beli Netilas Rishus Choshech, as Rashi said, without permission you're making a big mistake. You need the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's why the mitzvah of tzitzis comes after, not the miraglim. The Olam says, why? What's the shaychis, the tzitzis, and the miraglim? Okay, there are 100 divrei Torah that will explain to you the connection to the miraglim. I'm giving you a different divrei Torah. The tzitzis is not for the miraglim. The tzitzis is to counteract the mapilim. The mapilim. Bizman hazeh, we lost out. We'll do it anyway. Too little, too late. We'll do it anyway. We'll vivayapilu. We'll do. No. You got to do it the right way. You have to be neitel rishus. And neitel rishus, to remind from tilas rishus, is the psil techeles. Okay, we'll stop here.